The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, my friends. Good morning to worship. And before we begin, I just want to remind everyone that this Sunday is also our annual meeting. So after the dismissal, please do not feel dismissed. Please remain in your seat for our annual meeting. And we have sign-in sheets outside to sign in so we get the quorum of our meeting. We invite all of our members to make sure they're signed in. And if there's any discrepancy on those lists, if you thought you were a member and you're just an associate, or if you're a member and you want to be an associate, please talk to me afterwards and we'll make sure all that gets rectified in the coming months. And for our friends and our visitors, welcome. Please also feel invited to stay for the meeting. If you're checking us out and want to have like the inside look of the business side of the church, you're most welcome to join us for that. And then after that meeting, which will hopefully be short, we will meet downstairs for our annual potluck. And all who are here are also invited to that. So please, thank you for being here. Feel welcome. And let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Thank you.
And welcome, my friends, and welcome to all those who are gathering here in person, and welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the fellowship of each other. We continue now with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our Creator, our Protector, our wellspring of life.
Amen.
Trusting that God receives our words and the meditation of our hearts, let us confess our sins. Merciful God,
you speak blessing and compassion into the world. Forgive us for the ways we act with judgment, cruelty, or indifference. We ignore the needs of our neighbors. We resist your call to oppose injustice. We give in to scarcity and fear. We assume the worst about one another. Cleanse us from our faults and release us from their grasp. Show us your loving kindness. Restore our hearts and repair your world. That we may live in Christ's ways. Amen.
God proclaims these words of assurance. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. In Christ, you are forgiven. In the Spirit, you are made free, refreshed by the waters of mercy. Live anew as beloved children of God.
Amen.
Praise and glory forever and more.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people.
Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. You don't have to come. All are welcome, but no one is forced. How are you guys today? Is it cold outside?
Yes.
It's a little cold outside. Well, today we have a story where Jesus comes into the synagogue and he reads out of this huge scroll. Have you ever seen a scroll?
Yes.
You have? Where?
Behind your back.
Yes, behind my back. Well, I got a little scroll. Oops. Unroll from my scroll. Here we go. I have a little scroll. I actually kind of wanted to act out what Jesus was doing. Is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
You know how a scroll is like a book, right? You know that, right? Except before books were invented, they had scrolls. So Jesus comes to the synagogue. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah, and it's his turn to read out of the scroll. And he decides that he wants to read kind of the last little bit. So how do you think that's going to go? So you got to hold on. Be alone. Actually, can you hold that for a second? Okay. It's a long scroll, guys. Perfect, right there, right there. All right. So he gets the scroll out. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news." What do you think that means? You know, the Spirit is with you. The Spirit that baptized, that descended to Jesus when Jesus was baptized is with you. You were also baptized. The Spirit is with you. God is with you. What do we do with that? We proclaim good news. How do you think we can tell people about the good news of God in Christ Jesus?
The Spirit.
Through the Spirit, yeah. Do we proclaim with just words, or can we live that out in our lives? We can, yeah. So, you know, every time you love, every time you show mercy, every time you forgive, you are proclaiming the grace and mercy of God. The Spirit is with us all to proclaim this to the world. Let us pray. On the count of three, for our friends and visitors, we're going to bring our hands together in the form of prayer. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that we can proclaim.
Thank you that we can proclaim.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading today is from Jeremiah 8. Nehemiah 8. Hear now the word. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read our psalm today responsively, and it can be found on page 5 of your bulletin. From Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Our second reading today is from 1 Corinthians 12. Hear now the word. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the great honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, my friends, it's been one of those weeks, hasn't it? Everyone's emotions are up and down. And I'm caught in that bit of what to do, and I find myself walking at that tightrope again. Some of us gather here because we sort of want to escape from the noise of the world. Some have gathered to hear a response. And let us remember that we are a mixed group here. I've had conversations with many of you. We say diversity is our strength, and we certainly have a diversity of opinions in this room. Let us remember that we are one community that holds that tension together. And so my job today is trying to say something that will resonate for all of us, that is grounded in the gospel of our Lord in Christ Jesus. So for me, it was lucky that we had this psalm today. And may the ending of Psalm 19 be our prayer, that you may pray for me as well. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't know that I was going to watch the inauguration on Monday. I was going to go surfing. But of course, Monday was really cold, so I sat there hoping that the sun would warm up the world. And it never did, I'll tell you that, because even when I went out much later, I have never been so cold in my life as it was. I tapped out after 40 minutes and tried to spend the rest of the day getting warm. But I did tune in as I waited. And I knew we were going to have this text this Sunday. This is Jesus' inaugural address for his ministry. He's finally on scene as the Messiah. We get his inaugural address. So maybe there could be some comparing and contrasting. Well, Jesus comes on the scene proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. And friends, this is the year of Jubilee from the Old Testament. This command that once every 50 years, there would be a year of Jubilee. And that was a bit of a reset button, a social, economic, religious reset button to bring justice and equity to the land. It speaks of hope, of restoration, of healing. And on Monday, we heard about a great golden age. And this also speaks on the surface of hope and healing. We do need our own reset button in the modern world. I don't know anyone who would say we don't need to hit that great red reset button. But then I asked myself a question. In the midst of this year of Jubilee, a year of a golden age, comes the question, for whom? And this takes us back to our first founding story of Abraham. God tells Abraham to go out into the world on the adventure, and if he does, he will be blessed. And if he is blessed, he will be a blessing to the world. The blessing isn't to be hoarded, but to be shared. And Jesus calls us to be salt and light. We might also ask, for whom? Are we salt and light just for ourselves? Are we asked to be salt and light for the world? And this, to me, seems to be true. We are not isolated individuals in the world, but a community. We are all interconnected in our lives. That's, to me, is the great spiritual vision that we are doing, to see that we are all one. We are one in Christ. We are all in this world together, and we are all journeying towards the unity of reconciliation. And Monday was also MLK Day, and so my favorite quote from him speaks about this as well. All life is interrelated. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied into a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. As long as there is poverty in the world, no one can be totally rich. As long as disease are rampant among millions, no one can be totally healthy. Strange enough, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. Friends, this is the language of St. Paul in our text. We are one body. And Paul says, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And it seems to me we are at this current state in our world because we have been fed a lie that one interest group has to supersede another interest group. And so we are constantly on both extremes, being pitted against one another, with whose interest is more important than the next. But as we saw last week at the wedding in Cana, and as we'll talk maybe later in our congregational meeting, we know that the grace and mercy of God, there is enough justice for us all. And the vision that we are called for is that vision of unity. To see that what affects the other affects me. And what we should strive for is that our whole body has no suffering. That we care for the whole. And so when Jesus comes on scene, and yes, I think this is a comedic scene where Jesus stands up with the longest scroll in the Hebrew Bible and slowly unscrolls to chapter 61. And that must have taken a considerable amount of time. You can hear the rumblings in the crowd, the anticipation of what he's going to say. And then Jesus comes to that great messianic passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, friends, the upon me is the literal definition of what Messiah means, the anointed one. The Spirit has anointed me to proclaim good news. I think that hometown congregation of Nazareth got really excited. Oh boy, we are in for the best sermon ever. And then Jesus gives the shortest sermon ever. This has been fulfilled today. And then sits down. And maybe the question for us is that really all that needs to be said? Is that really all the meaning here? Is it really that simple? Jesus seems to be telling us, yes, it is that simple. Your mission is the Spirit of God is upon each of us, is to go out and proclaim the good news. And to whom do we proclaim this good news? Back to the original question. And we will see next week, because we have part two next week, Jesus is encouraging them to proclaim the good news to the Gentile and to the Jew, to those far off, to those near, to all, and especially to the poor, the captive, and the oppressed. And we might say, why especially them? And friends, that is the same question Scrooge asks the ghost. On Christmas mornings, with the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost is showering blessings on passerby, and Scrooge asks him, do all benefit from that blessing? And he says, yes, all do, but especially the poor. And Scrooge asks, why especially? the Spirit responds, because they need it most. Now, friends, we also shouldn't buy in the lie of trying to figure out whether this poor is a socioeconomic poor or a spiritual poor or any other type of poor, because the answer to that question is yes. The one is a symbol for the other, no matter which direction you want to go at it. And we are all in want. We are all in need. We are all held captive to the power of sin and death and the devil. Those big granddaddy three are the problem that infect us all. And the great healer, Christ Jesus, has come to liberate us from that. So to whom? To us all. Friends, we are the body. We are the ones whom the Spirit is upon. And we are the ones now sent out into this world to proclaim the good news. And how might we do that today? Through 1,000,000,000 tiny acts of love. Through looking at your neighbor, telling them that they are loved, seeing them, showing grace and mercy and in our prayers. Let us be that community that stands for love, knowing that we and all of creation are one body. Let's ensure we do our part to ensure no one suffers. Amen.
Amen.
Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. As your word is opened in our midst, we give thanks for all who share scripture, for parents, grandparents, and godparents, teachers and mentors, deacons, pastors, bishops, and scholars. Inspire passion for the stories of faith. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As heavens declare your glory and the sky proclaims your work, we lift our voices in awe of quarks and atoms, vast stars and solar systems. Guide us to speak on behalf of your handiwork. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As Jesus proclaimed life and freedom in his community, energize communities and nations to eliminate poverty, engage in prison ministry and transformative justice, and envision new ways of working together for your promised reign. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As your word and recent presence revive the soul, accompany all experiencing depression, anxiety, or eating disorders. Be a source of strength for all affected by memory loss and their caregivers. Draw near to all undergoing medical treatment or surgery, especially Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, DR, Michael, David, Marty, Rhonda, Victor, Corinne, Randy, Dan, Gary, and Julie. Victims of the wars around the world and natural world disasters. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As we are made one body in baptism, strengthen all who serve. And inspire all who use their gifts in this congregation, community, and the world, especially parish nurses, fellowship hosts, worship leaders, council, and committee members. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As our faith is strengthened by saints who have gone before us, we remember leaders of the early church, especially Timothy, Titus, Silas, Lydia, Dorcas, and Phoebe, and beloved friends and family who have died. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us all to come back together now and to stand for our offering hymn. Let us pray. God of grace, your love reaches out to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we offer to you in service, our gifts, our ability, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity now and always.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
It is let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turning to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending him. Declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son. At the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering within this meal among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end.
Amen.
Gathered together as one body, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all are invited here to come. In a moment, our ushers will come forward and we will ask you to fill in the communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling. Just extend out your hand and the element will be given to you. And then to reach in when the wine comes around, you can either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. And friends, this is the last Sunday of the month, and so we also have a healing element to our service. So as we are receiving communion and you partake of communion, if you wish a prayer of blessing from Deaconess Sabine, you may go to where she is in the back by our baptismal font to come forward, go back, receive prayers. Again, my friends, all are welcome to this table, and all means all, which means all. All are invited to come. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know all who come forward will receive. Amen.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Friends, we now kind of pause for announcements, and I have a lot of announcements, and I'm going to forget some of them, but just to be, to hit the important ones first. Remember, after the dismissal, please stay where you are for our annual meeting. All of our visitors are welcome to attend that, and then afterwards, we'll go downstairs for our annual potluck. Everyone here present is welcome to that. There is more than enough for everyone. We also want to announce that Helen Azell graduated today from her Job Corps. You know that. We will be working on getting a quilt.
Yeah, she's very excited. She's like, I earned it, I won it, it's mine.
Still on.
In your mailbox, there are the tax documents. So make sure, well, if you want those, you can pick them up. There's something else I'm supposed to say. And okay, please, in our words of the week, there are special announcements of all the activities going on in the week ahead. It's a busy week. We have book clubs, so if you'd like to join the discussion, either Tuesday or Thursday, and please pay attention to all the other activities. And then friends, I've been asked by council to make a very specific statement, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit in our congregational meeting as well, but it is the election year of our new bishop. And in light of the history of this congregation, you want to make it very clear that I will not be on the ballot. I do not feel called to be a bishop. And to assure everyone, let me remind you that Portland is a good 3 hours from a decent surfing shop. And so I wanted to quote Lyndon Johnson. And I tried to do this in a Texan accent, but I think I'll just botch it. So let me just read it. I shall not seek, and I will not accept, the nomination of anyone for the office of bishop of the Oregon Synod. Friends, let's prepare our hearts for the benediction. May the Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you out in love.
Amen. Amen.
We all are one in mission.
peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But don't go in peace.
Okay. We'll get this over with as quickly as we can so we can get down there and all that good food. You're the ones that make me a good president because of the work you do. I only have two reasons I'm a good president. I like short meetings and food.
I think it's like your third page, maybe third or fourth, is the opening liturgy for the annual meeting. So we can find that page. Just turn to it. I know that as we are having our meeting, all the other churches in our synod are having their meeting. So we join this in behalf together with the whole body, which is our church. Confident in God's generosity and gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us praise God and give thanks. God, we praise you and give you thanks.
You are good and your mercy endures forever.
You give us a garden with food, good food to eat.
We praise you for food that nourishes us.
You rescued your people from slavery.
We praise you for freedom.
You gave us prophets to correct, rebuke, and encourage us.
We bless you for your justice and mercy.
You gave us your Son, Jesus, to love, redeem, and save us.
We praise you for his death and resurrection.
You gave us the Holy Spirit to be our advocate and comforter.
We bless you for the gifts of every tribe and nation.
Strengthen your church with every spiritual gift.
And commission us again to be your servant people.
Multiply in us the fruit of the Spirit.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Send us in your love and mercy.
That the world may know you.
Gracious God, you are the giver of every good gift. Bless us with all that we need for ministry in your name, that we might be a blessing to others. In the name of the one who broke bread and fed the multitude, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Okay, with that, we'll move right along and go to the treasurer's report. Could I call on Peggy for
check.
Yeah, why don't you come up here and
second year in a row, I have only good news to report to you. Our revenues increased over 2023 and what was budgeted for 2024.
Close.
It was a fair
amount. We can't hear you.
You need to hold it closer to your mouth.
Oh.
There you go. Like an ice cream cone.
Okay. Anyway, very good year. We had good revenue. Our offerings don't cover the expenses of the church, so every year we budget for funds to be transferred from the capital fund. Last year we budgeted $39,000. We only transferred half of that. So it was a very good year, and I thank you so much for your offerings. The capital fund is where our leasing tenants, Taco Bell, Valvoline, and Woody's Car Wash, they pay us. Our mortgage comes out of what they pay us. All of their leases are current. Woohoo! The private mortgage balance was reduced by $65,000 this year, and we have a remaining balance on our mortgage of $138,755.